My reason for signing on to the order, and I can't speak for the other 11 municipalities or 11 health officers that signed on, but my reasoning behind it was I wanted to give our businesses the opportunity to put plans in place so that they would be able to open safely and comfortably and not be overrun, as was seen in some establishments that were on the news that evening. Promptly on Thursday morning, my staff began calling any establishment that was either reopened as a part of our order or that had remained closed to ensure that they knew what was going on and that our plan moving forward was that this was basically a one-week temporary plan to allow them to put together a safety plan for COVID to be able to reopen safely to the public. The reception we received from all of the establishments we called was overwhelmingly positive and appreciative that we were giving them the opportunity to put plans in place, and also that the majority of businesses that could reopen that day did not want to reopen because they weren't ready. So we were also thanked by several businesses that we did not put them in the position of having to reopen or needing to reopen when they weren't ready. We did also reach out to our faith leaders in the community to let them know that churches were allowed to begin in-person services again using safe practices. However, most of them responded that they were also working on their plans and would not be moving forward with in-person services at this point, but we did provide them guidance and best practice on how they could do that moving forward, with the reminder that a lot of the individuals that would be wanting to be first in line for in-person church services is most likely that vulnerable population that we want to keep protected as much as possible. I mentioned we had reached out to the majority of those businesses. We sent them the documents from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation as well as OSHA. We consider those to be the best practice guidelines, and they're consistent across state and national borders, so that if somebody has an establishment in Waukesha County and Franklin, or Franklin, Wisconsin and Peoria, Illinois, those documents are going to be very similar moving from municipality to municipality or state to state. As I said, in my estimation, this was always a one-week stopgap for the community. And so this morning, we issued a press release and a statement indicating to our business owners and residents that effective midnight on Thursday, the order will expire and there will be no additional orders put in place. We will be offering guidance and best practice documents and available for technical assistance. We are also providing assistance with businesses that need their safety plan looked at or improved upon. So I believe on the website we currently have this grid that, again, is a best practice document. It is by no way in order for anyone to follow, but our recommendation is to move across the chart and not open your business full bore unless you are very, very, very confident that you can do so safely. Once you feel like you can manage your plan safely and move to the next step, that's encouraged. But again, this is a guidance document. It is not meant to be an order or a directive that people have to follow.
Just, in addition to that, we will be opening up City Hall effective Friday morning at whatever time the departments are appropriately opened. There will be shields in most departments that have front-facing customer service. There will be guidance on the floor for social distancing. There will be additional hand sanitizers at doorways and at customer service areas. We are discontinuing the broad policy of work at home if available, so employees are coming back now. And I think that's it relative to employee policy. Alderman Nelson.
Ms. Day, I want to thank you and your staff. Excellent job, number one. Number two, what is the update on the House of Correction? Because I'm not hearing a lot about that. And
sure. Yeah, so people who are following the daily updates, either on the website or on social media, I did remove the House of Correction update because all of their staff and inmates had cleared the isolation protocol. Some of them are still listed as in the recovery dorm. The House of Correction took the extra step of creating a sort of a step-down dorm for those individuals who tested positive. So after they finish isolation in the COVID positive dorm, they move to the recovery dorm for an extra 14 days just to make sure that they're absolutely cleared of the infection before going to the general populace. But right now they have no active infections that we know of. They do have the alternative care facility that was built by the Army Corps of Engineers that is scheduled to open this weekend.
Okay, and in that, which is the Lauder building, the mm-hmm. annex,
yes.
for a lot of people that aren't sure, are they going to be accepting sentenced state prisoners that have tested positive for COVID?
My understanding is that, yes, that could happen if those individuals test positive.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mayor.
Alderman Mayor.
I'd just like to remind everybody, the COVID-19 response, we've all heard about lowering the curve so it doesn't overwhelm the health system. The COVID-19 response can be looked at just like law enforcement. We have police officers that work on crime prevention every day. And so when our crimes are down, we think, well, we don't necessarily need more police officers. But we forget that it's those police officers that are keeping that crime rate down. It's the same for firefighting. We have firefighters working on fire prevention. And so when there's fewer fires and fewer fire situations, we think, well, we don't need those firefighters because there are no fires or fire situations. Well, now the COVID incidence is down, so we get the possibly false impression that it's over and we can just go about business. And I'm not necessarily against opening up. We got to do what we got to do. But we have to remember the very measures that kept it low still make good common sense. And I commend everybody that wears a mask and still practices social distancing. I don't wear this mask for myself. I wear it for the people I work with and the people that they work with and the hundreds of people that that entails every day and the people I live with who may have health conditions that might weaken their immunity. That's who I wear it for. We have to remember that asymptomatic people are still the number one transmitters of this disease. And just because the order is done, the disease, the COVID-19, isn't gone yet. We need to remember that and still keep common sense practices in mind. Thank you, Courtney. Anything? Am I correct?
No, not at all. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
A second part of the last week we've spent, and you may have seen some of it today, is as important as working with the business community to make sure that they understand how to keep not only their patrons safe but also their staff, is also to continue to message to the general public that just because you can go out doesn't mean you should go out, and that we should still be only going out for things that we need. Social gatherings in large quantities are still strongly discouraged. Washing your hands, staying home if you're sick, all of those things are still in place and more important now than ever to abide by and continue all those good practices that we got into over the last 10 weeks so that we don't slide backwards.
And thank you, Alderman Mayor, for bringing that up, because that is very important. I've been talking to people all weekend, the complainers that it took us too long to open up and the complainers that we open up. You know, we get both ends of the spectrum, right? But I spent a lot of time this weekend talking to people saying, hey, the virus is still here. It is still present. We are still going to be impacted by it, that we still need to be diligent, just as what you mentioned. You still need to do social distancing. You still need to be cognizant of your hygiene. You still need to take care of all of that. And I thought the plan that Courtney and her staff came up with is a responsible plan, but we need to remain vigilant. And this whole idea that we phased it in and the 1 week, it was very appropriate. And those who say open now, in my view, would have been very irresponsible. Anyone else for the health officer? Thank you very much, Courtney. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. If you have questions afterwards, just where to find me. Thank you.
Without objection, I'm going to move to G1, confirmation of appointment of Heath Robert Eddy as planning manager. Heath's been Zooming here for the last hour almost. Heath is on the screen. Heath, you're You're about 5.5 feet tall right now. Welcome. I appreciate you spending time with us on Zoom. Heath comes to us. We had about 55 applicants for the position. Heath, I don't think you knew that. Heath survived two rounds of interviews of the committee, and that was it was a fairly large committee in transition. So given that, Heath, give us the nickel tour of Heath Eddy.
Well, okay. I've been doing this a while, 25 years. I've had quite a bit of experience in land use planning, design, zoning, review, that type of thing, all variety of it. I have quite a capacity to work with a wide variety of groups, people, individuals, stakeholders, from the very earliest days of my profession going forward. One of my critical beliefs is that customer service makes a big difference in the public in particular, because we work for the public. And so it's very important that they understand and understand what it is we're looking for and what it is that we're about. Even if we're giving them information that they may not want to hear, if it's a no or a yes, but it's going to be complicated, at least be upfront about it. Tell them what it means. Communication is very critical in this profession. I have a tendency toward big picture thinking, but I've developed over my many years of experience the ability to develop and implement tools and processes by which to address local needs and challenges. I also like to innovate, so I'll probably be throwing things out and throwing stuff on the wall to see what sticks and see what I can convince people might work better. And most of all, I bring a lot of enthusiasm to my profession. I take what I do seriously. I don't necessarily take myself all that seriously, but I do take what I do very seriously, because it matters. It has an impact on people around you. As noted by the comments I listened to earlier, it does make a difference. So it's important to communicate. It's important to facilitate. Try and get consensus as much as you can, and then to move forward. And I'm providing that enthusiasm with my staff, because they sort of latch on to it. Even the people I work with here, many of whom are older than me, or who have been here a while, they understand where I come from and how I operate. So they latch onto that sort of feeling like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing, which is kind of nice to know. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to know I survived to be the top candidate out of 55, because I didn't know that.
I'm going to use that against you at some point in the future. Questions for Heath. Alderman Nelson. I could tell by the way you lean forward.
Heath, can you hear me? Officer, it's Alderman
yes.
John Nelson.
Question
for you. Well, actually, it's not a question, it's a comment. So one of the things that we've had a lot of challenges with is kind of one of the points you brought up. It's customer service, timely and accurate customer service. And I've got at least a dozen ongoing projects that are going to battle with the antiquated UDO we have on file. And I understand from a member on the interview committee that you got to be intimately familiar with that document. So
yes, I did.
Okay, great. So I'll wait till you have at least a day of honeymoon period here, and then when you and I can, if you don't mind, I'd like to meet with you and go over the at least dozen projects that I have. But thank you and welcome.
For those of you you didn't understand this, the Unified Development Ordinance is about that thick. And Heath slipped and said in his second interview that he spent the previous weekend reading that, and it's a lot like reading a dictionary. There it is. Anyone else with questions for Heath? Okay. Is there a motion to confirm the appointment of Heath Robert Eddy as planning manager for the city of Franklin?
What's the start date, Mayor?
Heath?
June 22nd.
there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Madam Clerk, let's do roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman?
Aye.
Alderman Barber? Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Alderman Barber, you on the phone? Without objection, let's allow Alderman Barber to modify the record at some point. And the motion will carry, let's call it five ayes, no noes, one absent. Welcome aboard, Heath. You're now excused. We'll see.
Okay.
Call me. We can arrange a tour, maybe if you want to find a place or whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Good.
Very good.
Thank you. Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Thank you.
You're free to stay with the mayor until you find a place of your own.
I got a brand new puppy that needs to be house trained. You can help with that. Thank you. Okay, let's move back to item C, approval of the regular common council meeting minutes of May 5th. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Organizational business, item E, any requests for separate action? Okay, is there a motion confirming appointments 1 through 12?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Alderman Barber? Alderwoman Hanneman?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Motion carries, five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion approving appointments 13 through 15?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Motion carries, five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. We move on to item G2, presentation of the 2019 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for the City of Franklin. Mr. Rotzenberg. That was scary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One of the two main projects that the Finance Department has on an annual basis is to prepare financial reports, which is a stewardship of the city's financial resources, conducted in a fashion in which the Common Council adopts a budget. By state statute and by prudence, the Common Council engages an audit firm to come in and review the preparation of those annual financial reports. The Finance Department is pleased to present to you this evening the comprehensive annual report for the City of Franklin. It was prepared by city management and then audited by Baker Tilly, a firm that the council engaged last December to do so. I'm pleased to introduce this evening tonight Paul Franz from the firm of Baker Tilly. He is the partner in charge of the audit of this firm of this the city, and he's here to report to you and give you the opportunity to have discussions with your auditors about the preparation and the report of your financial condition. Mr. Franz.
Paul, before you do that, let me do one thing. Alderman Barber, are you on the phone?
Paul's still muted. Could you unmute Mr. Franz, please?
Can you hear me?
I think we can hear you, Paul.
Try it again, Paul.
Alderman Barber.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can.
Hold on one second, Paul. Alderman Barber?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to back up, Alderman Barber, and we're going to take your votes on three items. Okay? Your vote on the confirmation of Heath Eddy as planning manager is what?
Aye.
Your vote on the the appointments for the committee appointments on appointments 1 through 12 is what?
Aye.
And your vote on the appointments 13 through 15?
I have a question on number 14.
Which is?
The Quarry Monitoring Committee.
Yes, what is your question?
In the attached sheet for the requesting to be on the committee. The individual says that he wants to be on it because his house is being affected or something to that word. And I'm just wondering if Kristen Wilhelm has had any chance to talk to that individual to find out if that connotates any kind of a bias.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I think we're the quarry monitoring committee, and someone who has direct knowledge about it is appropriate for the committee.
Is there a bias there based on the fact that he is being affected by it, and that's what he states in his sheet?
City attorney, have a question.
Mr. City Attorney.
An example would be the created pursuant to the Wisconsin statutes landfill siting committee designates affected nearby residents as appropriate for being on a siting committee. So I don't see that as a conflict.
Well, I know in the past there was an alleged bias on some other appointments that were out there. So I just want to ensure that doesn't exist here.